But it is great to be here with you. What a difference a year makes. A lot different from last year at this time when I came here, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the things that have happened in the interim in a couple of minutes. But it is just, it's a great opportunity. And in the midst of everything, as I was chatting with Shannon earlier, in the midst of all the turmoil and everything that's gone on this year, God is still on the throne, and He knows exactly what's happening, and He knew all this was going to happen even before we did. So that's the thing that we can take assurance in, that He is still in control. And just got to kind of hang in there and lean onto Him and say, okay, God, how do we navigate these waters?
Yeah.
But a little bit of an update on the family. Well, Wendy's looking forward to getting back to driving bus tomorrow, getting back into a routine, of course, with the lockdown and different things. That's been, time off has been a little longer than normal, especially with the longer shutdown back in the spring as well. So she enjoys driving the bus and the routine that gives her. Josiah will be back in school instead of trying to do school online, which doesn't work well for him. And so he'll be back in class tomorrow, and Glenna's been studying online in university, so that's not easy either. She misses that interaction, that dynamic of learning together with other students. So, I will add a point of praise, because there's a lot of controversy about these things out there. For Wendy, this has been a huge blessing, because driving bus, you get every sort of bug that comes onto the bus, and usually by the end of September, she is as sick as anything and has a cold that can last through until January. But this year she has not been sick, and she's required to wear a mask. So there's anecdotal evidence that they can work in some cases. So, but praise God. Let me pray, and I'm going to show you a video, and I've got a couple of videos in there this morning. If they will work, if not, I'll try to narrate what they would have had to say to give you a bit of an overview of kind of some of what's been going on and what God has been doing in the midst of all of this as well. So let me pray, and we'll move forward with that. Father, once again, thank you that you are great, and you are a living God, and regardless of what goes on in this world, you're in control, and that we just need to trust in you, and that your desire is that every nation, every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world would hear the good news of Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to respond. And we pray that we would be faithful messengers of that as you enable us, Lord, and to take this message to the nations. And so guide us, give us wisdom, how we would do that in Camrose, how we would do that in Stettler, and wherever we may be, Lord, and to the ends of the earth. So encourage our hearts this morning, and we pray for your enabling and your blessing during this time. And we thank you for each one that's here and for each one that's sharing in this time from their homes as well. So we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So to give you a little bit of what happened, and I'm actually, as I was kind of processing this, I realized that what I'm sharing and what I was privileged to be connected with last year, especially in those first few months, this was all leading up until March, and it was like, I didn't think I was that busy. But I was here in January. I was part of a Kairos training where I got that, I can't think of the term they use, certification to be a facilitator in the Kairos course. And then, of course, there hasn't been another Kairos course to do up there. I could have probably done some online, but there hasn't been that much. And I don't know whether I can facilitate much of anything online. I'm not sure yet of that. I'm too old. But,
Would you check your mic and see if it got turned off?
Am I not? I thought I could hear myself, but then I am standing right beside myself. There's a light on.
Yeah.
Is it green? Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be good.
So, went to Miller College for their mission conference in January, which sadly, along with so many other things this year, has been canceled. They're doing an in-house mission emphasis for their students. And to be honest, I'm not sure. Wendy and I both had this nasty bug last year, and another mission rep that I know from another agency around that time was sicker than a dog. And we wonder if we had COVID before it was stylish. I don't know. But boy, we were sick for a while after that trip to Millard. So I don't know. So we were fashionable before its time. I think last year I mentioned a young man named Stefan Dutoit from Stettler. He was headed to Logos Hope. He is there now and has been there. He arrived at about maybe 2 weeks of direct ministry involvement in Jamaica when they were there, and then they went on lockdown. And so they had about 3 months where they couldn't leave the ship. Can you imagine 400 or 500 people in a compact space? But they did great. They had opportunities to do different kinds of training and different things. Towards the end of it, it was getting a bit much. And then as they moved into another port in that area, they were able to start going on shore and helping with some hurricane relief along with one of YWAM ships and this sort of thing. And Stefan is actually extending probably for another year. And so we're excited about that. I'm not sure if his parents are as excited, but we are. And then it'll give him a great opportunity as more doors open up. But that's been a lot of their work. And then being able to rub shoulders with can't rub shoulders when you're 6 feet apart, but you know what I mean. But they have been able to make some connections with folk on shore. But predominantly it's been relief, construction projects, just cleaning up from the hurricane that had gone through that area a few months earlier. And it was exciting that we prayed for Israel this morning. I would have had some stories from Israel, but remember last year I was talking about teams from Peace Revival Institute going to Israel and Portugal, and I would love to have said those went forward, but along with everything else, they were canceled. But it would have been great to have had some stories from those to share with you. And a number of things. In my very last meeting in March, I was driving home. I was speaking in a church in Edson, driving home, and the government made the announcement that we were being shut down that weekend. I think it was March 13th or something like that. So basically, in those 2 to 3 months, there was a lot packed in, and then all of a sudden, everything changed. It was like, okay, Lord, what is going to be going on here? That's where I like that video that they did, because it does show that God is still at work. God is still moving. Initially, it was like, okay, what's next? My meetings have all been canceled. I'm not going anywhere. And you think, okay, what is my purpose in this role? As God was working, directing us out here, but also in our head office in Ontario, was looking at what are some different ways that we can navigate some of these things. I have some, if I can get this to go again, I keep aiming in the wrong direction.
No, I think
you have the bad. Okay, maybe go to the next slide if you will. I'll just let you know to move it.
Did you turn the clicker on?
To be green.
I'm colorblind, but let's try it. Maybe that's what I did. It's got a slide. Yeah, there we go. Okay, let's see what we can do now. See, high tech. But you saw a little bit of that in the video, but God is using and still using people. And I mean, of course, as you know, COVID hit the whole world. In some places, a whole lot worse than Canada. So our teams in different nations, and not just OM, but other agencies, it's like, okay, how do we deal with this? And there are some amazing stories of hope of how God has worked in the midst of all of this. Now, I'm hoping there is. Now, I won't go all of the videos, but I have a couple of videos in a minute if they will work. We weren't sure yet if they would come through. But that meeting at Edson in March, one of the exciting things to come out of that, we knew it was in process at that time, but just a few weeks after that, this family, the Smith family, moved from Edson to Montreal. They are there as a family under lockdown conditions in Quebec, which are a whole lot stricter than Alberta's. Angie, the wife and the mom sitting at the top of the stairs there, is heading up a ministry that we're developing in Canada called Teen Street. And I'm going to show you a bit more of that in a few minutes. Teen Street has been an amazing work amongst young people an outreach, but also a challenge to live lives missionally to young people in Europe for many years. And it's been a vision to try to see things happen more in North America. And so Angie is heading that up and right now working with the U.S. office to develop some variations of it, so both virtual as well as in person in the coming months. And so if you're interested in something like that, because we hope to have an in-person version this year as well as a virtual one, so grab my card and send me an email about that and we can connect you with Angie. Actually, a young lady from Clearwater, who was at the meeting in September when I was there with Steve Hawkins, is been connected with her and working with her already, and I can't remember her name. I should have actually looked that up again. But so some exciting things came out of that final meeting. Okay, now will this video work?
No.
It won't. Okay. Well, let me. Looks
there
like
it
might. This is a family, a Japanese man married to a Canadian lady who have gone and working in Japan. And so this is an area of Japan where they're working, and some things that happened during COVID and under their ministry God gave them. So go ahead and play that.
It's not
going to work? Okay. Well, Kenji is from this area in Japan, and they went back there. He was with Wycliffe for many years and wanted to get more into a church planting ministry, and so came with OM and met up and got to know them a bit when they were still here in Alberta. But this story, the area he's in, very unreached. When they first went there, it was like, okay, Lord, where do we minister? What do we do? And God was bringing school kids to them, and they thought, well, this isn't what we expected. But that's where they kind of things got rolling in their ministry, and these were young kids, grade 4 to 6, and then school in Japan is a little more intense than Canadian schools, as much of Asia is, and so they lost contact with these kids. And then when the lockdown for COVID hit, their area was, there was no cases of COVID whatsoever, but with the whole country was in lockdown, and so these kids reconnected with them, and one in particular became reconnected with them, began doing Bible studies and this sort of thing, and came to faith. And the area where they are, the Onbe River, which is talked about on there, is that my papers on there? No. But is an area where there's never been a baptism. It's been a very unreached area of Japan. And this young person who's in high school age now, I can't remember his grade, and the comparison to here would be maybe a bit different. But this was the first baptism in that river. The pastor of the church that they're working with was able to baptize this young man. And it was the very first thing. So the significance and in the history and the background, the Onbe River is very significant spiritually in that community. So to actually have a baptism there was incredible as well. So an amazing, amazing opportunity that COVID brought their way. Ah, there we go. And I don't think, will this one work?
No.
Okay. This is Moldova, which I've talked many times about here. And during this time, again, Moldova was hit very bad too. Many working age Moldovans work out in other areas. And when Europe shut down, they had to start coming home. And many of them brought COVID with them, and so just the infection rates in Moldova skyrocketed as well. And it's been huge. And so one of the things the team started doing there, and they're doing it on a regular basis, is relief packages and just taking food and different things to families, to the elderly and to families that where they can't work if they've come back and they're unable to find work in Moldova. So that's been a huge part of their ministry for that. And as a result, they were putting themselves at risk. I mean, we're often said, well, don't put yourself at risk for anything. Well, for them, it was frontline work to say, we need to put ourselves at risk for these people to help them. And so a couple of the folk on our team there actually came down with COVID as well, tested positive. They didn't have severe symptoms. I've known some different ones who have had some pretty nasty things go on with them because of it. They weren't so sick, but at the same time, they came through that. But that was one of the major aspects of their ministry. And I did have a picture, if it's in there, if this will go forward. No, it's not. But I had a picture also. I believe I've mentioned Andrew and Dale Eckert from New Sarepta up the road. They're in Nepal. And again, a country that's been shut down, and so they couldn't even come home. They have their young son from Vietnam now, who was supposed to come back for some medical treatment, different things. They haven't even been able to leave the country to come out of Nepal, which suited them fine, because they've been there about 9 years now, and they wanted to just, okay, let's just carry on here. And they've been trekking into the different areas of the Himalayas, into villages where people have never heard of Jesus, and they've still been able to do that. In fact, they just went on one as a whole family. Now, they're a family of five. Nam, I believe, is about 6 or 7, and then their oldest boy is probably 10 now, something like that. And the whole works of them went on this trek. And it was an amazing time for them. Would have loved to have had, they did send us a little short video of that. But, and now they have moved into a, they're still involved with the farm, Shiloh Farms, but they moved into another area of ministry where they're in a more a Buddhist area of Kathmandu. And the Buddhism that's there is probably more akin to Hinduism, very spiritual, and the dynamics, the spiritual warfare dynamics that they're moving into as a family are incredible. So if you think of them, pray for them, for their protection, and for God to make inroads for them to be able to share with these folk as they move in to this new area. And also in Nepal, I think I shared last year about Audrey Gowing, who had just come back. I think I have a little video of the snake that was on one of her treks that they came out of the roof of this house. But she came back from Nepal. Now, at the moment, she's in Texas, where she married a young man from Texas that they met in Nepal, and kind of their courtship happened after they returned home. He came to Canada last winter in one of the, in the fall, one of our coldest snaps that we had, a young man from Texas, and he sat out in the snow for about 2 hours waiting for a family member of Audrey's to get her out there so he could surprise her with his proposal. And so this poor guy just about froze to death, so I told Audrey, I said, you know he loves you if he's going to do that. But so they're married now, and they are, they've been wanting to go back to Nepal as a couple, but that door hasn't opened at this point, so in a few days' time, they leave for Bangladesh, where hopefully it'll be about 3 months. They see that as a stepping stone to getting back into Nepal. So they're going to be in Bangladesh teaching English and this sort of things, and just involved with the team, encouraging people that way. So they hope to be into Nepal in about 3 months from now. But so some good things happening, even in the midst of all of this. And then, but here we are. In cameras, in Stettler, what's our role? It's kind of an uncertain time. I mean, OM, as a movement, has canceled all our short-term outreaches. I wanted to take a team to Romania this summer, but that's not going to happen. I wanted to take some of you. I don't know whether you would have come or not, but I would have loved to have taken some of you. And but so what is our role as we are in the midst of an uncertain time? I think one of the examples comes from Jesus himself in John 17, a passage that you're going to be very familiar with. And I think one of the things that we use as a bit of a tagline, or have used over the years in OM as a tagline, is pray, give, and go. And one of the more crucial things, a book that challenged me when it came to prayer many years ago, some of you may have heard of it, Wesley Duell wrote a book called Touch the World Through Prayer. And in that, my challenge was that, you know, we talked about when we're doing the mission, we want people to, those three things, pray, give, and go. But the challenge for me was that prayer is an overarching umbrella for the ones who are at home, who are sending people out, but it's also for those who go. Prayer is that umbrella that ties both together. It's not like one group prays, the other one just goes and does the work. It's part and parcel of the whole package. And Jesus' example here, I think, is quite good for us as well. As that passage is broken down, you can kind of see that circle on the slide. But he starts off praying for himself as he's ready. But I was listening to this on the way up here this morning, and I was struck again by, it wasn't Jesus just praying for himself to, for his own personal needs or anything. And not that that's wrong, there's nothing wrong with that, but Jesus' example in this case was praying that God's glory would come on earth. He would bring glory to himself. And Jesus would bring glory through completing the work that God gave him. So in another period, another example of Jesus praying, it was a case of, in a sense, praying that personal need. It was like in the garden where Jesus said, Lord, if you could take this thing away from me, do it. But I know if it's your will, it's got to be done. So there is that aspect of saying, okay, as we pray for ourselves, And we can pray through the different struggles that we go through. But ultimately, it's that God's glory is going to come on earth. And the same thing when Jesus goes on and he prays for his disciples. He prays for those who he is sending out and those who are going to come under that umbrella of disciples. All I have is yours and all you have is mine. Your glory has come to me through them. And so he wants us to bring him glory. And John Piper said, worship, mission exists because worship does not. We're to bring people to worship God, to bring him glory. And that's one of our rules. Whatever we do, however we do it, as we trust God for the wisdom to do that. So part of our role is praying. And then as he goes on, he prays for all believers that are going to come as a result of those disciples. We can be praying for our neighbors, for all believers around the world as they live through this time, this struggle. And then maybe add on to that, pray for those who have not yet come to be believers. Praying for the believers who are sharing with them. Maybe it's an online, a Zoom Bible study, which is something totally new for most people. They're getting used to it, and people are coming to faith through that. But then how do they follow up? How do they disciple them? Pray for those people. So that's one of the crucial things. And then in our own day-to-day lives, we say, okay, how do I live this out now? And how do I become an answer to those prayers that Jesus prayed so long ago? And in a sense, I think, continues to pray for us now. How do we live that out, and how do we share Christ with people and bring glory to God through that? So that's one of the key things that we can be involved in as we're in the midst of our own situation here, is that we pray for those nations, we pray for those people, pray for ourselves, and how God would use us in the midst of this. And so it's brief, but that's kind of the challenge that I wanted to give you in the midst of a report, an encouragement, to say, be people of prayer. And I know many of you are already, so it's not, I'm preaching to the choir, as it were. But in Jesus' example in that regard, that we're people of prayer for what's going on. So what's going on in the future? OIM Canada has a number of initiatives that we're working on and we are trying to do. And do I have, I can't remember. Okay, yes. There's some different developments. OIM Canada has been the same as any other office around the world. It's like, okay, how do we deal with this? How do we do things? And prayer has been a huge part of it. Prayer meetings online and our team meetings online, which actually has been a good thing because it's connected us across this huge country, because we have people in BC, Alberta, Manitoba, and right across into down into Quebec. And so it's, how do you connect? And so these online meetings that we would have every week have started to connect us as a team, because we can't go in person and we're not always phoning each other. So there is that aspect that's been positive that's come out of it. And so team meetings, team devotions, team prayer times. So those are some of the things where prayer has become part and parcel of it. The short-term opportunities, we've had a number of those in Canada in years past, and they were stopped. Unfortunately, I was like, don't do that. Because the Edmonton Challenge that we did up there, I loved it, working with the churches that we networked with. And those, we pulled back from those for a while, but again, now that is becoming a vision again to be able to start some of those things again. So we're just in the process of building on that, saying, okay, how do we network with the churches now in this new environment? Because we can do something in person, but we may not be able to do as much as we would like. And so how do we do a virtual opportunity as well as something in person where we're face-to-face with people? Quebec, the Teen Street opportunities. I've got a couple of links to Teen Street to show you in a minute if they will come up. And then another one that I had added on there, I must not have saved it. Let me get my sheet here. That some of the different fields around the world are starting to do. And again, it's something that you can do if you're interested in right from here, you can take part in. And send me a note if you wanted to look at something like this, but some virtual outreaches. The world at our doorstep. So in the UK, Ireland, and England, they're doing some of these things. And the summary they have of it, how do we reach those from around the world and those of another faith with the hope of the gospel? How can we build bridges? Come and join us virtually to find out how this is being done in communities in the UK, receive training, and learn more about Islam, and then in others, they're going to be teaching about different religions. So similar to the challenges that we did here, but online, and you're able to do that with people from a different nation. They're doing an Ireland St. Patrick's Vision in Ireland this year. So join this opportunity to engage with missions in Ireland. We will share about what God is doing in Ireland, the ministries and partnerships OIM is involved in, and how you can come alongside. So 90 minutes a day for a period of about 5 days in March. And so some different ideas that are coming up, saying, okay, how can we network with people? How can we build that? And then the stepping stones from those will be, okay, how do we virtually get a group of people that we can share with as well? And that would be the next step, to get, you know, the Muslim neighbor in London who's interested in coming online and learning more. And I think one of the exciting things for this is many Muslims are far more willing. They want to learn things about the Injil, about Isa, but they don't want to do it in front of their neighbors. Right. So if they're doing it on their computer, praise God, because then they can do this privately, and then they can begin that on that road and that journey to coming to faith in Christ. So some of the neat opportunities that are coming up. So I praise God for that creativity that He's given some of the folk in our offices around the world to do that. Now, will these links work on your computer? Okay, well, there is one, okay, but it doesn't come up on the screen?
No.
Okay, no worries. One is on the OIM site for Teen Street, and then the other one is their Facebook page. But if you're on your Facebook page, you want to Google, or you want to just do a search for Teen Street, or you know, online do OIM Teen Street, and you can see more information about this. And it gives you a bit of the history, kind of the ethos behind Teen Street when they began in Europe. And then now the partnership, and it has the dates on there as well, that Angie has worked on with the U.S. office. They're doing a continent-wide Teen Street that's going to be virtual, and then she's working on one here in Quebec that's going to be a combination of virtual and in-person. So some exciting stuff coming up there. So yeah, we're not able to get all of the info on there for you, just some of the pictures. Oh, here we go. So here, let me read a little bit of that to you. I mean, stop scrolling here. Crazy awesome things have been happening within our Teen Street team, and plans are laid for an epic 2021. Constantly revolving era of restrictions, we have decided to pivot from the traditional in-person events to an online hybrid style of event. And I'll skim down there. The dates for those, February 12th and 13th for Teen Street North America partner event, and then the Canadian event in April. So if you can check those things out, go to that page. I won't read the whole thing to you here now, but a neat opportunity that's coming right here, and to be involved in reaching youth across Canada. Now, I'm excited in the sense that it's in Quebec. There was mixed emotions, in a way, I guess you could say, about, you know, how do you want to start an event like this in Quebec? It's the least reached area of North America. There's, you know, 0.7% evangelical Christians. But at the same time, where God is moving in Quebec is among the younger generation. And so what a better way to start building into their lives, and then to, you know, equip them to be building into their culture and their society in that province that is so unreached. So I'm excited. And I mean, of course, I spent the first year of my married life in Quebec, and about a year and a half of my years with OIM were there. I'm a redneck Albertan that speaks French. And so when something good happens in Quebec, I'm excited about it. So some great things that have been happening. So thank you for praying, for partnering with us, and over these years and over these months that have been rather uncertain. But yeah, let me just encourage you to say, you know, to keep praying, and to, you know, grab my card if there's something that you want to check out and say, hey, maybe there's something, one of these virtual events that I, you know, can maybe take part in, because I can't leave cameras right now, but I can do something on one of these. Grab my card, send me a note, or talk to me afterwards, and yeah, we can see if we can hook you up for some of these things. But it's great to be with you here this year. It's, let's say, a little different, but amazing opportunities that are out there. And God is doing some great work. So let's keep praying and trust that He's going to continue to build His kingdom. And we know that He is, and that we can be a part of that. you know, that verse in Revelations that it's going to be people from every tribe and tongue and nation. Well, we get to be a part of seeing that party come together. We're sending out the invitations for that great party. So let's pray. Father, thank you that there's a party coming. And we get to be a part of that. We get to send out the invitations, Lord, and help us to bring them in, as it were. Ultimately, to do our part of sharing the good news, and as your Holy Spirit works in people's lives, to bring them to the King, bring them to the Savior. Lord, we just ask that you do that. Help us to do our part in praying and sharing and doing what we need to do as well. So bless this fellowship, bless these saints here in this room and in their homes, Lord, and we just thank you for our time together here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you so much.
Thank you.